Welcome, everyone, to the first 2026 episode of the Bullpen Report. We are part of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Dan Thompson at Red Fox Roto on the X Twitter, and I'm back for another season covering nothing but relief pitching. The pod is going to continue to be mostly a solo effort. But today we've got an entire offseason to review and 30 teams to cover. So today we're going longer than the usual 10 to 15 minute in-season episodes, and I won't be doing it alone. Our first guest of the show, who isn't my nine-year-old son, will be a familiar voice to almost all of you. He's one of the best and most transparent fantasy analysts out there, gives away all his secrets, and then can come out and beat you anyway. So please welcome one of the good guys of the fantasy baseball space. He's the regular host of the flagship FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Of course, it's our own Fab Whisperer, Vlad Sedler. How's it going, Vlad?
Hey, what's up, Dan? Here we are a couple days before Christmas. Things are kind of getting quiet, and it's really nice to be on this side of things. You're running the wheels, and I appreciate that kind intro. Usually, I got the intros, so that was really, really nice to hear. Remember that I can occasionally whisper some fab, and yeah, I am transparent. I really try my best. As far as these closers and relievers, we'll do our best with it. But man, it is it's a messy bunch. It's a messy pool for the season. But I'm looking forward to digging into it with you.
Well, we're definitely ready for another exciting year at FTN. We'll be bringing you the best fantasy baseball content we can. So Vlad, can you let everyone know what we've got lined up for 2026?
We've been in full swing for about a month now. The VDP 500 rankings that are essentially updated a few times a week. And free agency has chilled out a little bit since the winter meetings, but you're still getting some big signings. Murakami now joining the White Sox, getting a little bit more power in that lineup. Things are happening. So updating the rankings as frequently as possible, the off-season tracker. We've got articles out, strategy guides. If you go to ftnfantasy.com and go /MLB, and you can see everything there. There's a draft hub where all the articles will be populating, all of our tools and everything. Lucas Beery just came out with a wonderful piece on kind of who the next Bobby Witt Jr. might be. We haven't had one of those in quite some time, a next kind of big splash coming out here. It's a very compelling piece, so be sure to check that out. Dan's bullpen stuff, we've got you covered with amazing stuff all throughout the preseason. And if you want to get in on the pro package or the high stakes, you can use the promo code GUT26. It'll be 10% off. So check that out, ftnfantasy.com/MLB.
All right, excellent. So anyone who's listened to this show before knows that I really don't waste any time getting to the good stuff. So Vlad, we're going to dive right in. As mentioned, we're covering all 30 bullpens today. This is basically the audio version of my bullpen report chart that I do maintain on the FTN website all season long for our subscribers. So on that chart, I will list the club's primary closer, give them a stability grade, A through F, kind of how secure they are in their role. We'll list the next man up, the third in line, and then if there are any other speculative or capable pitchers in the bullpen, or there's a fantasy relevant bulk reliever, they have their place as well. So this means today we will be mentioning more than 90 of the top relievers in fantasy baseball. And when we're done with that, we've got a little extra for you to close things out. Some sleeper spec picks from each of us. So stick around for that. But first, we want to start with some free agents. So who is still out there waiting to be signed and disrupt all of our closing landscape? The big name that we're waiting on, of course, is Pete Fairbanks, formerly of the Tampa Bay Rays. Plenty of teams are known to have expressed interest in Fairbanks. The Phillies, Mets, Cubs, Yankees, Marlins, Diamondbacks, White Sox, I'm sure everyone else. So Vlad, when you have a former closer like Fairbanks who is still a free agent, how do you approach ranking a pitcher like that and then potentially drafting him while his future is unknown?
So typically you start at the baseline with of the ADP. You're looking at the NFBC where he goes in the Gladiators and the Draft Champions. Of course, in the Gladiators where you have 23 players is your entire lineup, nine pitchers, and you don't get to make any moves all season, or you have no one from the bench you can even bring into your lineup. Those players go, the closers are going really high. I had several drafts where I had the one pick where I would take Ohtani and then hit it with a Mason Miller, Edwin Diaz, or some combo of closers just to kind of knock those out in a format like that. As we get closer to the Fab, managed draft periods, of course, we can extend and push down the closers just a little bit, especially as we get a little bit more crystallization on who's what where. But with, you know, somebody like Fairbanks, feels like in a lot of leagues, I'm usually having an opportunity to grab him when I don't have a second closer. And of course, there's a little bit of a gamble there because he could land on one of these teams. For example, right? You really liked Luke Weaver, and I was with you. It's like if he was able to get to the Marlins or something like that, there's a clear route, 23rd, you know, for free, basically in Gladiators, and that would have been a smash. With Fairbanks, of course, there's a concern he lands somewhere like that, but more likely, there's so many teams that could really use a closer that I probably see him landing in one of those spots. And for me, like, I think Arizona is probably a good landing spot. I'd like to see him, make it over there. But we'll see. It's crazy. Outside of that, there are other guys that could close, but most likely will not be closers.
Yeah. So beyond Fairbanks, there are really few relievers left of much interest. It depends a lot on where guys sign. But we've got names like Ryan Stanek, Sir Anthony Dominguez, Jacob Webb. But there are still some more intriguing names who could threaten for saves if they can just stay healthy on the right team. So that's guys like Michael Kopech, maybe former Dodgers closer Evan Phillips, Hunter Harvey, very talented, always injured. So any interest in any of those names for you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You just mentioned those three. And I hadn't even thought about Phillips or Kopech in quite a while. I would like to see where they're at, their health status and everything, where they're going to sign. But absolutely, those are kind of sneaky. I can see you've been doing your homework.
Well, this is part of my job. All right. Well, we'll see what free agency brings us over the next. I mean, hopefully it doesn't run into, you know, late February, early March, where some of these guys are signing late. But right now, we've got 30 teams to cover. A lot of content. So we're going to go ahead and get started on that. We're just going to work through the league by division. I'm going to start in the AL East. So first up, we've got the Baltimore Orioles. They did over the offseason sign Ryan Helsley, a couple years, $28 million. But that second year is a player option. So Helsley is set up to be their closer. I gave him a B grade for the stability grade. Falls a little short of an A just because we really didn't see him pitch very well last year, but he's locked in as a closer to start. Any thoughts on Helsley? Do you like the landing spot in Baltimore?
I do. I think coming off last season when he, you know, had what, the 49 saves in the monster year with the Cardinals, was finally healthy. I don't know. He just was not a target for me last year, and I got a little bit lucky in that regard. And of course, then you go to the Mets and things went even worse for him. So his stock's a little bit down, especially with the high whip. I think this is a great landing spot for him. I think he definitely belongs in that group with Chapman, Iglesias, Devin Williams. Maybe Devin Williams is probably rank him a little higher, but I think he's solid, and you can get him a little bit later than most of the others, usually after pick 60. And I have no problem snagging him. In general, this bullpen is, it'll be beyond Andrew Kittredge, who they also signed, and Keegan Aiken, their lefty. It's pretty weak. And I'm even looking at the prospects there. I mean, it's just a bunch of guys like over 25. It's not the greatest park. So I still see them giving up a lot of runs, but I think Helsley can at least stop things over there.
Yeah. So you mentioned Andrew Kittredge. He is back in Baltimore, reacquired from the Cubs in the offseason. They picked up his player option, or his team option for the year. So Kittredge should be the next man up. And also Keegan Aiken, was mostly the club's closer for the last 2 months. He had 8 saves, all in August and September. He figures to be third in line for now. But if Aiken is getting saves again in Baltimore next year, something went really wrong. They do have Felix Bautista on the injured list. He had the major shoulder surgery last year. Chances are he misses all or most of the 2026 season at least. So probably not going to be fantasy relevant for us in Baltimore. So we'll move on to the Boston Red Sox next. And Aroldis Chapman, what an amazing 2025 season he had. It didn't come completely out of nowhere. Obviously, we've seen some really elite seasons from him before, but he did that at 37 years old. Looking ahead to 2026, now he's back in Boston. He's going to be 38. He posted a career best, by far a career best, 6.6% walk rate last year. Most of his gains were just in control. Do you think that's repeatable at his age?
So it was a beautiful season. Everything just kind of hit right for him, especially after all those years on the Yankees. I think we'd be hard-pressed to expect an ERA under 2.5. I think there definitely was some luck involved. I mean, the guy had a 200 BABIP, where his career rate is usually around 280. So there's going to be a little bit of give back. I think the price is fair for where he is. And obviously the situation is good for him. I haven't been clicking on him all that much just because I do. I am concerned. I mean, this is a guy that usually has like a 14 to 15% walk rate. And last year he was down below 7%. So like we were talking about with the Helsley thing, sometimes these things just have a way of, you know, you can't just buy in on one good season. Of course, he's got the name brand and everything, but I'm just a little bit cautious. Of course, I can get be wrong 2 years in a row, of course. But I guess I'm doubling down and not really going there.
Okay. Well, next up in Boston, it's going to be Garrett Whitlock. You know, he really broke out as a reliever last year. He'll be back in the eighth inning next year. But third in line is a little less clear. I'd still give it at the moment to Justin Slayton. Once considered the closer of the future in Boston, couldn't really stay healthy last year. The strikeout rate really collapsed. So he's got 2026 to kind of build back up, get that trust back, and maybe reemerge as a potential closer for the Red Sox in the future.
I mean, they were talking about building this super pen, and it hasn't really been coming to fruition. I do think it's one of the better pens in baseball, but with Whitlock and Slayton being healthy, I think that'll be very good for them. Greg Weissert is a pretty good righty reliever. Zach Kelly is solid. Jordan Hicks, just, you know, the walk rate problems, but I don't think they're done. I think they're going to sign a couple of these vets.
Yeah, it looks like a bullpen that's not quite finished. But speaking of a bullpen that's not quite finished, we go to New York and the Yankees, and they've got a nice 1-2 punch. David Bednar and Camilo Doval are back after being trade deadline acquisitions last year. It's widely expected, of course, that Bednar will serve as their closer for at least the beginning of 2026. But third in line for the Yankees right now looks like Fernando Cruz. And if you're the New York Yankees, their history of spending, going big in free agency, they can't be entering the season with Fernando Cruz third in line, right? This team is not done.
No, they definitely have some moves to make. In defense of Fernando Cruz, and as wild as he's been, he did have his best season last year, albeit in only 48 innings. But this guy had, if I'm not mistaken, the highest swinging strike rate or up there for relievers. It was at around 19%. And this guy really does have some filthy, nasty stuff. He had an ERA at around 3.5 and even kept the whip under 120, which, you know, for him is impressive. So, you know, he's a 12% walk rate guy. He is what he is. But, you know, the bullpen is decent. I think Jake Bird over there on the team now is solid. The 36-year-old veteran Tim Hill, they just signed Paul Blackburn, who, as you know how things go with the Yankees, he'll probably end up at the rotation at some point when everyone's hurt. So I really like the spot for David Bednar. I think he's really a really solid top 10 closer. And, you know, just if he's available, you need a closer at that point. Just feel comfortable in picking him up.
Yeah. The Yankees have at least been kind of loosely connected to Pete Fairbanks. But this is certainly one of those places where if his market takes long enough to develop, the Yankees could jump in and, you know, maybe they're one of the teams that could ruin Fairbanks as a closer if they stick with Bednar. All right, but we'll move on now to the Tampa Bay Rays. It was announced earlier in the offseason that this was going to be a committee. Fairbanks is gone. And when Fairbanks was healthy with Tampa, he was the closer the last two, three seasons. But anytime Fairbanks was not healthy, it was a committee. And so it looks like that's going to be the case again. Griffin Jack, Edwin Uceta, and lefty Garrett Clevenger are the three names most commonly mentioned. They should be the three that factor in the most. Any favorites in that group?
Yeah, I like the fact that this that Kevin Cash is like, you know what? I don't like this steadiness at closer. Let's not re-sign Fairbanks, and let's just go back to the committee that we're always used to. So Griffin Jacks has been a pretty clear one of the top sort of non-officially closing relievers off the board. Like, people absolutely love him, and there's a reason for it. He's a phenomenal pitcher, really elite closer reliever, that is. And that's not always the best spot. Like, it's hard to just lock him up and think, oh, he's just going to run with this job, because he's always been in a position as the high leverage man in the eighth, or coming out for, you know, inning in two thirds. And so I just haven't been clicking on him all that much, and that could be to my detriment. We'll see. The interesting thing is, when I saw a quote from, I thought it was from Cash, maybe it was from their pitching coach, but it was something about the plan for the bullpen. And the interesting part is, maybe he just had a brain fart, but he did not mention Uceta. He said Griffin Jacks, Garrett Clevenger, the lefty, and then Manuel Rodriguez were in the mix. And I know Manuel Rodriguez got a little bit of a shot last year. He's coming off elbow surgery in August, but we'll see. I think that could be like a buying opportunity, right? Like, people aren't talking. You see the quote, you take it too literally, and then all of a sudden Uceta, you know, leads the team in saves.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. That Uceta was omitted from the last discussion we had of this question, who's going to be part of that committee. So you could be right. Maybe it's a buying opportunity. Uceta certainly is very talented, very high strikeout reliever. He could do the job. I don't know any reason why he wouldn't be involved. So I would still feel comfortable, like in a deep draft and hold, you know, if you're taking save specs, to maybe pass on Jacks and instead take Uceta later. All right. Well, going now to Toronto, it looks like Jeff Hoffman has survived free agency to date. The Blue Jays, their most notable signing was Tyler Rogers. But Rogers is a very versatile, typically has been used in the seventh and eighth inning throughout his career. Not someone who's expected to supplant Hoffman in the ninth inning. So I have a share of Hoffman from early when he was going very cheap. But how do you feel about Hoffman now? Do you think he looks a little safer?
Yeah, he does seem a little safer to me. Of course, the discussion about him potentially being comfortable not closing, or management talking about not using him as a closer after everything that went down there at the end of the season, it was really kind of rough. I think the market has cooled off on him. And my ranking on him is lower than his ADP, and I've always been below the ADP over the last month, and that's just because of all this going on, because it's hard to recommend someone that just might not be there for the role there. And on the flip side, I think if he was given the opportunity, he would have a much stronger season this year. I mean, this team is stacked. They're probably not done. They might add Kyle Tucker. If you look at that rotation and then you look at the bullpen, it is incredibly strong. Like, they've got guys, they're talking about Louis Varland can potentially be in the rotation if they wanted him to. You got Jose Berrios as your long man. There's a lot of really good stuff going on here. And I think Hoffman can anchor in, lower that home run rate, and be really solid. So I'd like to see him kind of run with it.
Yeah, I think he is due for a bounce back season, but whether Toronto could be a place where Fairbanks ends up. They've been mentioned. They certainly wanted to add another piece to the bullpen, and hopefully Tyler Rogers was that guy. If you already have a share of Hoffman, you want him to be safe. All right. Well, we'll move on now to the AL Central Division. We'll start in Cleveland. And after the shocking development last year where Emmanuel Clase was caught up in the whole gambling probe, we shouldn't expect to see him in 2026. This is Cade Smith's job now, and he looks like he could be one of the new studs at the relief pitching position.
Yeah, I mean, the Cleveland Guardians, again, you look at the lineup, it looks like it stinks, it's boring, but for whatever reason, you know, they'll just kind of, they'll squeak out their 80-ish wins, and all those games will be close ones where it's just like Cade Smith locking it down, and I could totally see him having like a Cardinals situation from 2 years ago where he just has, you know, 44 saves or whatnot, leads the majors with ridiculous ratios. I think people are drafting him higher and higher. I've seen him go in the 30s. And I think, of course, all these closers will move down a little bit as we get closer to managed draft season. But, I mean, it wouldn't even be shocking if he was the number one closer in baseball this season.
It's possible. It could be possible. So next up in Cleveland, looks like it would be Hunter Gaddis. I thought Gaddis could have been in the mix to become the closer last year. He was bypassed for that role by Cade Smith, but Smith earned it. And new signee, Sean Armstrong, probably third in line right now.
It's okay, a good pen.
So, yeah, it's a very good pen. So we'll move on, though. We'll keep moving to the Chicago White Sox. It doesn't look very good on paper, but if you're a believer in Jordan Leisure and the second half that he had, finished the season very strong, do you think that's someone you could target as a closer too? Or more comfortable in like a DC, you know, draft champions, like a third closer and just an extra reliever?
He's like an extra, I think. You have a spec in like a 12-team OC and you get him in the later rounds as your third and hope to see him stick. I think he can handle the job. I think this team is going to be even better this season for obvious reasons. And they've got a nice core. They're coming together on offense. The staff is pretty solid as well. You know, Shane Smith with the big rookie year, Sean Burke had his ups and downs. They picked up Anthony Kay, almost 31-year-old from Japan. Sean Newcomb was just signed a couple days ago or a day ago, and he's probably going to be or could be in the rotation. And yeah, I think the only threat there is the fact that, top prospect, second rounder Grant Taylor is in the mix there. He's a perfect setup man, multi-inning guy. That's probably the best utilized spot for him. But he could also close. Those two can flip-flop either way. So I think that's kind of the only threat. But I think Grant Taylor is obviously a better pitcher. But again, we've talked about this all the time. It's not always the best pitcher that's in that ninth inning role. I'm okay with Jordan Leisure. I'm concerned about Grant Taylor. Grant Taylor might be a very interesting buy now.
I love Grant Taylor myself. The team did announce that they intend to use him as a multi-inning reliever. But I can see plenty of scenarios where he comes into the seventh inning, eighth inning of a close game and just finishes it out. And he's got the strikeout rate to get over 100 strikeouts if he does have enough multi-inning appearances and throws like 75, 80 innings, more than a typical reliever. So Taylor, you could get like 5 wins, 10 saves, 100 Ks, good ratios, and be just kind of a sneaky good pick.
All right. The one thing I'll mention here is This bullpen isn't that great. There are a few names I don't even recognize. They have a couple Rule 5 guys there. They're probably not done. I can see them signing someone else, but I think there's a lot more certainty of a set closer coming out here, of it probably being Leisure, at least to start, than it was last year. Remember last year, there were like 5 guys. Everyone had like 5 saves. Even Clevinger came in for a bit. And even like our projections had it pretty well spread out. Similarly, not exactly those names, but it was a mix. So I think because the bullpen has a little bit more of it's a standout, right? You could tell that just Leisure and Taylor are there at the top. You know, Mike Vassell isn't bad, but, you know, the rest of this bullpen is really a step down from those guys. So I think it gives Leisure a little bit of a bigger bump.
Possibly. Will Venable was a little frustrating last year. He never stuck with one guy very long. But it does look like Leisure and Taylor clearly have more talent than anyone else in that pen. So maybe they do rise to the top this year. All right, well, over to Detroit, where the Tigers made a bit of a splash signing Kenley Jansen. And they also brought back Kyle Finnegan on a two-year deal. So anyone who had drafted Will Vest early on was pretty disappointed by seeing those two guys added to the Tiger bullpen. But the Tiger bullpen now very strong, 1-3. You and I are both in agreement on this, that Kenley Jansen is the closer. He's 24 saves away from 500. He's got the most experience at his age and just as a big guy. He's not the kind of pitcher you get up and down for the seventh and eighth and kind of bring him in. He warms up for the ninth. He pitches the ninth. That's his role. You agree with that?
I agree with that. You don't bring in a Hall of Fame closer like that. And then, you know, the quote that I saw about, you know, not for sure or mixing in the other guys, it's almost like a little of a, like, don't want to give like Finnegan, somebody who's closed for years, like a little buyer's remorse. It's just like kind of lip service, I guess you could say. And Will Vest is great. You don't want them to think that, like, actually, maybe I have this wrong, because if I were Will Vest and Kyle Finnegan, wouldn't you be like, oh, Kenley's here? Okay, well, we know who's going to close. You don't get that close to, you know, being in the top five all-time saves and then just let, like, Will Vest, you know, close. It doesn't work. I don't think it works like that.
Yeah, so we are expecting that Jansen will get the majority of saves there, but probably not a great threat to go over 30, but definitely the mid-20s seems fair.
Agreed.
Now, we'll go on to Kansas City. They're running it back with the second year of Carlos Estevez's contract. Lucas Erceg is back to be his primary setup man. So it's a pretty clear one, Carlos Estevez, two, Lucas Erceg. Now, they just traded for Matt Strom from the Phillies. I would expect that Strom will slot in as probably that third in line. But as long as Lucas Erceg is healthy, he will be the backup, and Estevez is definitely going to be the closer after leading the entire major leagues in saves last year.
Yeah, when you look under the hood on Estevez, it's not pretty. And especially when you have a closer that doesn't have a lot more strikeouts than he does innings, it subconsciously makes you kind of want to avoid and thinking maybe the other shoe drops or you're buying too high. But I was in a draft yesterday where I was sitting there, I think like pick 95, and the closers were going hot and heavy. They were way gone, like in the 50s, basically. And like, okay, if I wait another, you know, 10, 15 picks, Kenley's not even going to be there. Estevez will definitely be gone. And I kind of looked at it again. I'm like, you know what? I think this is going to work out again. This is like what he does. He's very comfortable in it, in this role. We saw it last year. He's going to get a lot of opportunities, maybe not as many as last year. And sure, he'll have some hiccups. I mean, it's normal in the game. But I think he's fine. It's not the sexiest pick, but I think he's really, really solid. And I like that's what he was signed there to do.
Okay, next up is the Minnesota Twins. And on the bullpen report chart on the website, my note for the Twins right now is yuck. I can't say much more than that. The top three, yeah, it's ugly. The top three right now I have as the three guys who were getting some saves for them late in the year last year. It's Justin Topa, Cole Sands, and Cody Funderburk. So if you have not heard of any of those guys, I'm not surprised. I don't think they've heard of themselves. So Minnesota seems like a place who should be in the market for a legitimate reliever. And whoever they sign could become a candidate to become the closer right away. The way things stand now, I give them an F grade on the chart. I would just say stay away from any of these guys.
Yeah, this bullpen it's like the Rockies of the AL, except for the Rockies actually have a guy, Victor Vodnik, who might actually be solid and hold on something for the first time. This is a perfect scenario where it is better to allocate your resources digging into other things and other closer situations. If you're in a DC and a 50 rounder, go other places. Why are you going to take a stand on one of Topa, Funderburk, or Sands when it might not be any of them and you could get it all wrong and just waste picks? So I think this is like an easy, easy situation to avoid. That's just a basic rule for me right now. Just I'm not, I don't, do not care about Twins closer.
Fully agree. All right, we're through the AL Central. Let's finish up the American League with the West, and the Houston Astros are up first. We've got Josh Hader. As long as he's healthy, he is the closer. There's no doubt about that. Brian Abreu, one of the best, most reliable backup handcuffs you can draft. Whoever's third in line, that's a little more up in the air, not as strong after the really solid top two. Right now, Brian King, another lefty, looks like he would be in that role. They've got several other members of the bullpen that are very capable, but not guys you want to have to elevate to the ninth inning. So this is Hader and Abreu. How do you feel about Hader's health now? He had the shoulder injury. He missed the last 2 months of 2025. He says he's healthy. He's through his rehab program. He's starting to throw off the mound. Are you comfortable if you're taking Hader as your first closer?
I'm not comfortable. No, I wouldn't say comfortable, but I would like to believe, right? Like, we only know so much until we start seeing things. And this is sometimes where any nuggets you can find on Instagram, because sometimes these guys are posting things and what they're doing. And not all of them obviously have an Instagram, but in a situation where you're wondering about somebody and then you know, it's crickets versus, oh, they're in the gym busting their butt or they're throwing bullpen sessions. Then you know, you have at least something to lean on, any edge that we can get in this crazy fantasy world. But yeah, he's around solid where he goes. I've taken him in a couple of gladiators. Sometimes I think if Helsley's there, I believe I take Helsley over him. I take Devin Williams over him. And then maybe I do Hader over Devin Williams. But if he's healthy, I mean, he's an easy, you know, top three closer. Could always be the number one.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Well, on to the Los Angeles Angels. Another bullpen that might be finished. They just made a flurry of signings, but doesn't really look finished. They've got Robert Stevenson there. The first time he, well, hopefully is fully healthy after he signed a 3-year, $30 million plus contract for them a few years ago. Ben Joyce is returning from his own shoulder surgery. They just brought in Jordan Romano on a 1-year deal, a reclamation project of a former closer there. They've got a young fireballer, Ryan Zephyrjohn. They've got Drew Pomeranz they signed from the Cubs. Pomeranz really had a fantastic relief season for the Cubs last year. So there's five names that could all be involved. Do you have a favorite? Like, if you had to pick one as a spec out of this bullpen, who do you like the best right now?
Let me ask you, where are we with Ben Joyce?
Is he? I really don't know. I haven't seen any good updates about the status of his shoulder. It was a major surgery. So we might not really start to hear anything specific until he gets into camp and starts throwing, you know, in front of all the coaches and the media sees him throw. So right now we have to assume he could be a little bit slow played. So that's why I have Robert Stevenson listed ahead of him on the chart. But Stevenson himself has to prove his health. You know, he finished last year with an elbow issue. He had, I think, a shoulder issue. So a lot of question marks in LA right now.
Yeah, Robert Stevenson was signed. This will be the third year of his deal, right?
I believe it is, yeah.
Yeah, and he was signed for, right now $11 million for a reliever is like, whatever. But 3 years ago, 2 years ago, it's a big deal. And he was signed even though he had, it was Tommy John, right?
Yes. He had the Tommy John, and then coming back last year, he had some setbacks. He did finish the year with another elbow injury, a forearm strain, I think, typically leads to elbow issues. So he's not out of the woods. He needs to prove his health, just like Joyce does.
Yeah. So this is a tough bullpen, but I do like Robert Stevenson. I mean, if he is healthy, I think he'd be awesome. I know the reports are they want to give him an opportunity to do so. He's never really been a closer. He's never had more than one save in a season. Even when he started his career, it was as a starter. When he was with the Reds, he was a starting pitcher. So I really like Robert Stevenson. I also really like Ben Joyce, but I also think, you know, their arms could fall off again at any moment. And then watch, like, you know, 38-year-old Drew Pomeranz goes in there and leads the team with 22 saves as they're the second worst team in the league.
Or Reed Detmers, you know, flames out as a starter again, comes back to the bullpen where he thrived last year and just starts blowing everyone away.
Would not be surprised.
Yeah, so maybe avoid the Angels for now until spring starts and we get some health updates for some of these guys. All right, so we have some doubts about what's going on in LA. We have some doubts about what's going on in Sacramento, but for a different reason, and it's just because nobody stands out in this bullpen. We've got Mark Leiter Jr. was just signed to the team and immediately thrust into, oh, he could be their closer. Because the rest of the bullpen is Justin Sterner, Hogan Harris, Elvis Alvarado. Really no one that screams, I should be pitching the ninth inning. I kind of like Justin Sterner as a bit of a sleeper. He finished very well last year. After starting the season very well, he had a really poor stretch in the middle. But to me, he could be a bit of a sleeper. But this is really up in the air. I don't know who's going to be closing for Sacramento. Do you?
No, I don't. I think, first of all, the home park there in Sacramento, especially in the summer, it's not ideal. The thing I like about Justin Sterner's profile is the low walk rate. I think in that respect, it's for the most part, it's been pretty solid. He's a former, it was in the Tampa system for many years, Miami originally. And I think he's solid. I think he can do the job. Mark Leiter, obviously a veteran. He's had a little bit of closing experience, not the best season last year. And then Hogan's Heroes, AKA Hogan Harris, last year was the last couple of years. I mean, he's maintained ERAs 3.32 and under. And his claim to fame is he's the guy that absolutely shellacked, had like the worst 0.1 inning of all time. I think he gave up like 9 earned runs or 11 earned runs or something crazy in 0.1 innings of relief. I'll never forget that, but he's bounced back nicely since then.
All right, so Sacramento is a big question mark. Maybe spring training will give us some more insight there. For now, if you're in a draft and hold, these are like round 45.
Yeah.
Round 45 or later. throw them out there. All right, so the Seattle Mariners, this is a very, very straightforward bullpen. Andrés Muñoz just had one of the best seasons of any closer last year. He's back. Matt Brash is going to be there in the eighth inning. He came back from his Tommy John, I believe, had a really fantastic season. And the Mariners traded young catcher Harry Ford to add Jose A. Ferrer, who finished the season as the Nationals closer last year. So they have a really good 1-2-3, but it's also a really well-defined 1-2-3. It's Munoz for the ninth, Brash in the eighth, and Ferrer for the seventh, and facing those lefties.
Love the bullpen, ballpark, just everything. There's a lot to like about Seattle there. And Jose Ferrer, a shame that he won't be in Washington, but he's in a much better position. Better, maybe not for his dollars, but for potentially making a run and not being on a franchise that isn't going anywhere. And beyond that, I mean, Gabe Spear is another strong lefty. Edward Bizzardo had a phenomenal season. A couple of 30-year-olds. I like this team a lot.
Yeah, top to bottom, they have a very strong bullpen. In Texas, I'm not sure right now we can say the same. By default, Robert Garcia will slot in as their closer. He closed, I believe, 9 games for the Rangers last year. The team brought back Chris Martin, the ageless Chris Martin. So probably in the last year of his career, didn't get a chance to close last year when some people thought he might. So he's probably not much of a threat this year either. Some other names in the bullpen, Cole Wynn. And we can't overlook that the Rangers did sign former Reds closer Alexis Diaz. So at least they have a fallback reclamation project who has that experience in the ninth inning. And if he kind of rights the ship, maybe he could eventually factor in as well.
Yeah, it's not pretty, I guess you could say, there in the bullpen, especially if you're looking at roster resource, you're seeing names you may not recognize unless you're a crazy prospects person, guys like Dom Hamill, Luis Curvelo, Carter Baumler. These are guys that are right now projected in the bullpen. The thing about Texas is they have one of the strongest up-and-coming bullpen prospect guys that you can imagine. You remember from the A's, this guy, Mikel Otañez, who threw absolute fire. He's in the mix over there. He was picked up on waivers. And then they've got two you know, top prospects. Remember Mark Church? We were talking about picking. Remember people were drafting him for saves or sometime around main event season. And then the best of them all is a kid, absolute fireballer, Emiliano Teodo. And I know that somebody that I know personally in the organization is a huge fan of his, whose word I trust. So maybe he's somebody that comes to the scene.
Yeah, probably a name I could add to the speculative list on the chart, but definitely someone who will need to get up to the major leagues and show that he can maintain the control and the velocity and the strikeout rate and everything, and get outs at that level. All right, well, that concludes the American League. So we're halfway through. I think we need to speed things up a bit, but we're going to start now with the NL East. And the Atlanta Braves really destroyed some fantasy baseball drafters when they were the ones that signed Robert Suarez to a multi-year contract after they had brought back Raisel Iglesias to be their closer again. So Iglesias will be the closer. The team has already announced it. Robert Suarez is going to be the setup man. Dylan Lee should be back as, you know, the third in line, the lefty killer. But between Iglesias and Suarez, both their values have kind of taken a tumble since these signings. Iglesias, not so far because he is still the closer, but Suarez, definitely his ADP falling down a cliff.
It's funny how sometimes you see people with really extreme takes, and it has to do with if they have, you know, like a Suarez on their dynasty roster, or he helped them win them the league last year or the year before. And they're like, oh, well, you know, Iglesias is a bum. I've read some of this. I'm like, what do you mean Iglesias is a bum? The guy is, you look at the last few seasons, just like overall saves, like basically since the COVID days, even before that, since 2017, I don't think you'll find many closers that have more saves. And, the season prior, the guy had an ERA under 2. Last year, he lost the job for a little bit, had some bumps in the road. At the end of the day, it was still a 3.2 ERA. The guy has only had, since 2020, he's only had one season with a whip over 1. So the walk rate's always low, 5, 6%. He's incredible. But so is Suarez. Suarez has always been getting the job done. It's a great bullpen. It's good for Atlanta. It's thumbs up all the way.
Bit of a headache for fantasy. But remember, Raisel Iglesias is announced as a closer, so you can throw him in there in those upper tiers. Probably keeps him out of the first tier, though. Now we move on again to Miami. This was a team last year, was very frustrating. I referred to it as the closer carousel. Fewer options this year. The unfortunate news, Ronnie Enriquez just underwent an internal brace procedure on his elbow. He will miss the 2026 season. So there is one sleeper gone. This would seem to, I don't want to say lock in, but definitely give Calvin Fauché the leg up to begin the season as the closer. But Miami has been very open about wanting to sign a closer. So do you think they maybe ramp up their efforts now, especially with Pete Fairbanks as the best option remaining? Do you think they try to throw some money at him and convince him to come down to Miami?
They should.
Yeah.
They need to do it. You got a nice young core. The offense is looking pretty stellar. There were a lot of games last year. It was just really incredible to watch the Marlins. I know you are in that neck of the woods and know them a lot better. And the pitching staff is really nice too. Really, the only downside is that bullpen, but the bullpen has some really nice arms in there. And as much as I would, I have a thing for Fauché, you know, fantasy wise, of course. But I don't see him as the guy. So I would like to see them sign Fairbanks.
Yeah, if they don't sign a better free agent, I kind of can see that carousel, you know, still turning next year. Fauché, Anthony Bender, Tyler Phillips in that top three at the moment. Over to New York now, the Mets. They've made some big signings. They are reworking that bullpen. Of course, the biggest name was Devin Williams, the three-year contract, signing Williams away from the New York Yankees. And then they went and did it again, signed Luke Weaver from the Yankees. They're just bringing over the whole Yankees bullpen, just pulling them across.
Yeah.
So Devin Williams should be the closer. Fully expected that he will be the closer now. Luke Weaver, obviously, slots in as that eighth inning, that primary setup man, just like they started with the Yankees last year. AJ Minter is in New York. Very good left-handed reliever. So that's a really, really solid top three. I mean, you've got to be happy with that. And Devin Williams really stands out as the pick for fantasy purposes.
He's great. Bullpen looks good. Devin Williams, Luke Weaver, nice combo. I think they'll have much more they'll have better success as a combo with the Mets as opposed to with the Yankees last year.
I would agree with that. To Philadelphia and the Phillies bullpen. There's finally no more committee in Philly. Joan Duran is the man, and he's going as one of the top three, four closers in drafts. Very deserving of that. Jose Alvarado is there to set him up. Orion Kerkring is still there. The Phillies signed Brad Keller away from the Cubs after Keller really broke out as a relief pitcher last year. So the Phillies putting together a killer bullpen, but no one has taken the place of Joan Duran in the ninth inning. It's time to get excited about him. 16 saves in 4 months with the Twins last year. 16 saves in 2 months with the Phillies. Sky's the limit for him.
He's great. I think I had him really the other day. I had him and Cade. I noticed I had Cade Smith way past Duran. And when I was in a draft, I was like, you know what? I kind of like them around the same. And I think what it comes down to is because it's a game of numbers and literally like millimeters. And sometimes when you do a refresh and you look at Duran's page and you're like, can this guy produce a season with a whip under one in that ballpark? Cause despite usually having a decently low walk rate, he does kind of give up, you know, pitch to contact, give up a lot of hits. That may not be the best word, pitch to contact, because I mean, you usually can't hit him, but you know, like a 110, a 116, 114 whip, that those little kind of things matter when you're talking about comparing to guys that can get you, you know, that whips under one. So I think that's the only blemish, but otherwise it's just, you know, very, very easily could be the number one closer this year.
No, I agree. Now across the division in Washington, this is another yuck bullpen right now. In the Discord for my Earth League, WARF, the Waffle House area, Roto Fantasy League, there was a joke made that there's a game to be played here, U.S. Congressman or Washington Nationals relief pitcher. Cole Henry, Clayton Beter, P.J. Poulin. Uh-huh. Rule 5 pick Griff McGarry was a former prospect with the Cardinals. They got to keep him on the roster, so I guess that means he has a shot. But really, this is pretty ugly right now in Washington. You got to imagine they're trying to sign some kind of veteran to come in and maybe anchor that ninth inning.
They need somebody. It's pretty gross. Looking at the best option now, I hate to say it, but it's former Yankees prospect Clayton Beter. On the plus side, he does have some killer stuff. He just can't harness it. But this is a guy that throughout his entire career has been rocking an elite swinging strike rate. It's always in the 14 to 17% range. On the downside, his walk rate is higher than his swinging strikeout rate, which is really rare for somebody. And it's always over 15. What was it, like 20 something last year? Even though it was like, you know, I know he didn't pitch many innings, but it was, he only pitched 25 innings, but it was like a 17% walk rate. So yeah, that's pretty gross.
Well, the Nationals 2026 saves leader, not likely to be on the roster right now. They have an F stability grade on the bullpen chart. Just avoid these guys for now.
Agreed.
Moving on, we're in the NL Central. We'll start with the Chicago Cubs. Daniel Palencia, not a name anyone really thought of before 2025, but really broke out as one of the best waiver wire additions, regardless of position last year. Finished strongly in the playoffs, would absolutely be the Cubs closer right now. I don't think he's fully out of the woods yet. I don't know if Pete Fairbanks is really in play for the Cubs. He's been loosely mentioned with them. But if Fairbanks does find his way to Chicago, he would probably take the ninth instead of Palencia. So Palencia is getting a little more comfortable as a pick, but definitely outside of the upper tiers. Behind Palencia, you have Phil Maton signed, Porter Hodge, last year's kind of bust mid-round closer pick. Maybe he can rebound. And then Ben Brown didn't really have the success as a starting pitcher. Looks like he could settle in nicely in the bullpen. I have him as just a speculative pick right now. But the Cubs have a pretty decent top four there. How comfortable are you with Palencia?
Not particularly comfortable.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. I'll have to dig into a little bit more. Phil Maton had it was like a top 30 pitchers of all pitchers last season, which was great. And by the way, this rarely happens, but you're going to have an update to make in the middle of the show or after the show, because we had a transaction. Jacob Webb on your closer signings, free agents, just signed with the Cubs a few minutes ago.
Okay. Well, it gives the Cubs some depth. I don't think he's a threat to Daniel Palencia, so Palencia survives.
Look at that live action on the show.
I would actually be a little more comfortable now drafting Palencia. The Cubs are really starting to fill it out.
Yep.
Okay.
It's a good pen.
And right as we were doing the Cubs. Okay. Well, we'll keep things moving along. Cincinnati, the Reds, they re-signed Emilio Pagan. Pagan was better than Daniel Palencia as a waiver wire addition last year. Was really fantastic. Saved 32 games, among the league leaders in saves. They've brought him back to anchor the ninth again. So he should be supported by last year's primary setup men, Tony Santillan and Graham Ashcraft. We had a little bit of a discussion in our Discord, the FTN Discord, about Pagan and kind of how his price has really risen beyond where people are comfortable. We have to remember, this is a pitcher who's been inconsistent, has had home run issues. He's in the worst home ballpark to have home run issues. So my thoughts were, there's a wide range of outcomes, and I wouldn't really be too interested at an inflated price. But if you get him at a fair price, he's a good pick. He's going to be their closer. He's locked in.
Hey, I agree with that for the most part. Essentially, I'm not drafting him. And especially, I'm seeing going top 100 in Gladiators. When I updated the ADP into the VDP rankings, and I saw, oh my goodness, there's 100 spots difference between where I have Pagan ranked at this moment and where he's going. I'm like, that's a little crazy. So we had to move him up, make the market adjustment, but it just even more so illustrates to me that he's just not somebody I'm super comfortable in drafting.
Yeah, he wouldn't be a target of mine. So, you know, buyer beware if you're interested in Pagan right now. Milwaukee Brewers, a little unsettled at the moment. I haven't heard anything concrete recently, but Trevor McGill has been the subject of trade rumors. Right now, I'd have to assume a healthy McGill will enter the season as a closer again. But last year, he was really pushed by Abner Uribe, who broke out, had a fantastic run as the closer late in the season when McGill was injured. Jared Koenig and new addition from Kansas City, Angel Zerpa, both left-handed, both figure to kind of battle for that seventh inning or that primary left-handed role. But really, this is between McGill and Uribe and whether McGill stays or doesn't. What do you think?
Yeah, I remember drafting a month and a half ago, my first draft, and I picked up McGill. And then afterwards, I'm reading about the trade rumors. And so for now, no matter how much I like McGill, I cannot click on him. And I, for the most part, can't click on Uribe because now he's going around where McGill's going. They're both going in the 110 to 130 range. And Uribe, man, is he hot right now in NFBC drafts? Like, it's just almost assumed that he's going to be traded. And it makes sense. Like, I could see Milwaukee trading Trevor McGill and just saying, because we have their guy, they have their guy. They're very happy with Uribe. When he can be an absolute elite closer. It's because he's healthy, right? He was finally healthy, first time truly in his career. And this is what you see, what you see is what you get. He's very, very good. But remember, I kept waiting for Nolan Otto or Arenado to get traded from the Cardinals, like was promised, and it just never happened. That can happen too. And also Uribe can have a setback, or you just never know. So for me, they're both kind of middling. They kind of cancel each other out. And that comes at the expense of not getting Uribe, but you're not getting Uribe at 200 ADP anymore. He's going at like 120.
Exactly. Yeah. If you guess right, you could get great value, but you have to guess right. And there's certainly no guarantee of that. Over in Pittsburgh, Dennis Santana looks primed to open the season as the Pirates closer. He finished very well as the closer last season after David Bednar was traded to the Yankees. The Pirates did sign a previously experienced closer, Gregory Soto, to a one-year contract. They also have Isaac Mattson back. He was one of their primary setup men last year. But in that recent trade from the Tampa Bay Rays, the Pirates added lefty Mason Montgomery. This is a guy I liked, as I think at one point I made him a save spec of the week in my article last year. He's got some control issues to figure out, but this is another pitcher with really high upside if he can make those adjustments and start throwing more strikes. He's got the stuff for it.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll save comment for our end session, our little end section over there we have.
Okay. So we'll go to St. Louis now, a team that is finally looks like they're actually rebuilding rather than just reloading as they did for so long. Riley O'Brien was the guy who kind of emerged as a closer last year. I'd have to give him the leg up on the job this year. Jojo Romero kind of started as the closer after the trade deadline last season until O'Brien overtook him. Romero is subject to trade rumors himself. He could very well be gone within the next few weeks. Third in line right now, I have Matt Svanson. He might actually be the most talented reliever in the pen. And in the end, who knows, maybe he ends up the closer by the end of the season. So Riley O'Brien is certainly capable. He's got the stuff, the 98-mile-an-hour fastball, the 90-plus-mile-an-hour slider. If he can harness that, get some more swinging strikes with it, who knows? He could have a breakout season. Wide range of outcomes there. Have you taken any O'Brien? Do you like him at all?
I've been drafting him. Slowed down a little bit recently because I've been looking more at the profile of Matt Svanson, plus some comments you had about me not completely loving Riley O'Brien. I did read some articles about him that make me really like him.
Did I spoil it for you?
No, not at all. I mean, it's good. It's good. It could very well be right. I think it's very up in the air. I think O'Brien can get a chance to run with it, but things would have to go very well for him.
All right. So we'll run through now the NL West. Really got to move this along if we can. The Diamondbacks, another yuck bullpen at the moment. If nothing changed, you're looking at Andrew Salfrank, Kevin Ginkle, Ryan Thompson could all figure into the ninth inning. AJ Puck and Justin Martinez both had their own Tommy John or version of Tommy John last year. Probably not due back at all until near the end of the season if they're able to return. So Arizona looks like one of those free agent destinations, maybe in play for Pete Fairbanks. Now, to Colorado, you've already mentioned Victor Vodnik. He was the closer for Colorado for a portion of last season, actually pitched pretty well for a time. So he should be the favorite to open as their closer again. But Seth Halverson is still in that bullpen. He saved double-digit games last year. And Jimmy Hergett, maybe another name who could be involved. But I do expect Vodnik to start with that job. My advice generally is don't roster Rockies relievers.
Yeah.
Would you spend a pick on Vodnik, like if you were just desperate?
If I was desperate, for the most part, I'm just kind of avoiding the Rockies as I do every year. It usually pans out.
It usually does, yes. All right, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, this is Vlad's team. Were you pretty excited about the Edwin Diaz signing, or did you not want him to commit that much money to the bullpen again?
I don't care about the money. Not my money.
You don't care about the money.
It's not my money. No, I mean, it's great. The only thing I always have is a little bit of like, you know, oh, they're just going to, you know, the whole world's going to hate me and us more. But it is what it is. And it's obviously a phenomenal signing. And they kind of needed that, which is crazy after spending all that on Tanner Scott and Kirby Yates and all that last year. But no, it's great. He's a top one or two, I think, in ADP and VDP, everything. So he's really solid, and hopefully they can stabilize the pen a little bit more this year.
Yeah, yeah. Tanner Scott should be due for some improvement on his first season in LA. And we saw really nice seasons from Alex Vesia and a few other of the young pitchers in that bullpen.
Yep.
So Edwin Diaz coming in as that anchor, that ninth inning guy, definitely lengthens that bullpen. And it looks like it could be quite a bit better than last year. The same is true of San Diego. They made that big trade for Mason Miller last year. And after Robert Suarez opted out of his contract and signed elsewhere, Mason Miller is locked in as the closer. Definitely a threat to finish as the RP1. Jeremiah Estrada is back, as well as Adrian Morejon, the lefty. So they have about as good a top three as any bullpen in the league, but Mason Miller really is the crown jewel there.
This bullpen is always outstanding, and you add arguably the best pitcher in baseball, really, you could say. You can make a case. It's phenomenal. They're in a really good spot, and get the offense going, and you might have something there finally.
Yeah. All right. So we finish up the 30-team preview with the San Francisco.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Francisco Giants. They've been quiet. They've been eerily quiet so far. This is another kind of unfinished bullpen. It has that look. Now, if nothing changed right now, we have to assume that Ryan Walker will open as the closer, as he did last year. Had his struggles, was overtaken by Camilo Doval, but Doval is gone. Walker has by far the most experience of the pitchers remaining. I found it really hard to kind of rank where guys might fit in the hierarchy behind him. You've got Joel Peguero, Eric Miller, Jose Buteau. But if you look at the strikeout rates, this does not look like the strikeout rate of a strong major league bullpen. Nobody, including Ryan Walker, was over 9 Ks per 9. So over that kind of one strikeout per inning, where you really want to see some power back end arms. San Francisco's got to be in play for someone, maybe even a surprise contender for Fairbanks, right?
They have to be. I'd like to be in on Ryan Walker more than.
Oh, so would I.
Yeah, I think he's good. I think he needs another shot. He just blew so many saves last year. He didn't look good. I really want to see him succeed, but I am a little scared. But the price at 200, kind of taking a shot. By the way, they got a couple of old school guys in the mix who you never know could move up the ranks. But remember Gregory Santos, who actually I had projected for some saves and for a nice season last year. He signed as a free agent with them and non-roster invitee. But nice to see if he could crack it. And then River Sen Martin, if you remember that name, not that he's any good, but he's a lefty, pitched for the Reds. Obviously moving to a place like San Diego, I could see him cracking the roster as well as a lefty.
All right. Well, that was all 30 clubs, more than 90 names, a lot of information. Maybe listen to this twice. So we are going to... We're about ready to wrap things up, but we do have a little bit left for you. We're going to finish up with some, we'll call them sleeper picks, but we've each chosen three relievers who are some of our favorite save specs. So in the relief pitching draft strategies article I wrote for the FTN website, I identified a few archetypes that make for good closer specs. The first was the veteran with closing experience. Number two was the high K handcuff. And third was the setup man for an obvious trade candidate. So, Vlad, did you choose one for each category or just three of your favorite spec picks?
I try to fit them into those buckets, and I feel like maybe 2 weeks from now I might have those perfect answers. But for me, I kind of like Tony Santillan only because it's a little bit of a hedge against Pagan. I think Santillan was phenomenal last season. I think he's one of the better setup men in the game. So he's one that I'm really into. I also like, it's kind of both of them, but I do like Riley O'Brien and Matt Swanson. But the more I look into Swanson, he's somebody that could really, maybe if not this year, at least be one of their top relievers and maybe grab an opportunity to earn some saves. And then my third guy is Tanner Scott, who I feel like for everything that he is and is capable of and kind of the somebody that is, you're going to be surprised as how Dave Roberts is going to, use guys, right? He's going to give Diaz more rest and they're always thinking playoffs. And certain situations, you know, righty lefty stuff. You're going to see Tanner Scott grabbing some saves and racking up some wins just from being in that position, and the ratios have bounced back. So Tanner Scott is the third guy that I'm into. And of course, if Diaz does get hurt, that opens up a wonderful opportunity for Tanner Scott to be a top five closer. So those are my three. How about you?
Well, I did follow my archetypes. So for veteran with closing experience, I went with Yimi Garcia of the Toronto Blue Jays. It's easy to overlook that just in 2024, when Jordan Romano went down with his elbow injury, the Blue Jays first turned to Yimi Garcia as their closer. It didn't last very long because Garcia himself got hurt, but he's back in that bullpen again after being traded at one point to Seattle. And I think he slots in pretty clearly as that backup, that handcuff to Jeff Hoffman. And Hoffman, we know, is going to be on a bit of a shorter leash. The team was open about being, you know, potentially replacing him in the ninth inning through free agency. They haven't done that yet. But if Hoffman continues to have some long ball struggles, if he doesn't open the season very strongly, I mean, there's at least a possibility that Garcia could, you know, jump in there and claim that role. So the second archetype was the high strikeout handcuff. And my favorite right now is one of the more obvious handcuffs in the league, but that's Brian Abreu from the Houston Astros. And the reason I like Abreu so much isn't just that, I mean, he strikes out like 100 batters every year. It's that Josh Hader missed the final 2 months of last year with that shoulder strain, didn't have any kind of corrective procedure. So we really don't know the status of Josh Hader's health. Mm-hmm. And at this point, it is a bit of a question mark, as Hader is now into his 30s, whether he can hold up again for another full season, you know, throw in that kind of crossbody, you know, high velocity, that delivery that he has. So I think Abreu makes for a really nice handcuff, and he can have some standalone value. You know, you can throw him in there as your ninth pitcher in like a DC, a deep draft and hold, just for strikeouts, you know, the occasional save anyway, and, you know, getting some wins. And then the last archetype, my third pitcher, was the setup man for a trade candidate. Right now, the obvious one is Abner Uribe, but that's a trade that could happen pretty soon if it happens at all. But looking ahead in the season towards the trade deadline, Dennis Santana should really be one of the most obvious guys who will get traded next year. He's in the last year of his deal. Pittsburgh, not generally expected to be a contender, probably will be selling. Santana has a low salary. Someone in Pittsburgh is going to be closing in August and September. And I mentioned earlier, they just acquired Mason Montgomery from the Tampa Bay Rays. Isaac Mattson doesn't really do much for me. Gregory Soto has the closing experience, but Soto is also on a one-year deal. If Pittsburgh are sellers, Soto could be one of the guys who's traded with Dennis Santana. So Mason Montgomery has a big-time strikeout rate. Like I mentioned before, he does have some issues with the control, the command. If he can harness that in any way, a la Aroldis Chapman last year, you know, he really does have some big upside, and he could end up in the mix for saves or even taking over as the closer in August or later next year. So those were my three. And that brings us to the end of the show. This is the longest bullpen report ever. We've gone over an hour. So I thank you, Vlad, for being part of this and helping out, giving your insight. Any last words from you?
Oh, just let's stay on top of the market. Let's keep everybody in the mix and knowing what's going on so they can make the best draft decisions possible. But this little exercise and prepping for the show has me even more in tune. So we'll make sure to pass all that information down to you every single week throughout the preseason.
Absolutely. And I am keeping the bullpen report chart updated daily on the FTN website, so all our subscribers can go there and see updates as I get to them. And yeah, we're all excited to bring you the best in 2026. So on behalf of my guest, Vlad Sedler, myself, Dan Thompson, and all of us at FTN, happy holidays, everybody. I hope you had a happy holiday if you're listening to this later on. So for now, we will see you next time.